Hello, my name is Jen Hickey. Welcome to the WEN podcast, a series of conversations with people as they share their WEN moments. Recognizing these times can change our destiny, help us to stop hiding behind the past or clinging to a future that may or may not happen. This podcast is about recognizing the power of the WEN moments. Hi guys, welcome back to the WEN podcast. So this week I'm chatting with Susie O'Neill, founder of AU Makeup Ireland. It's an Irish-based, Irish-owned company dedicated to empowering women with the tools and knowledge to bring out their best selves. And it does just that, a fantastic, affordable, vegan brand teaching us how to wear makeup and how to enhance what we already have. This is a wonderful chat and includes plenty of tips and tricks and simple skincare advice. So if you're not already, go ahead and follow AU Makeup Ireland on Instagram for all the latest tutorials and products. Thanks, Emil. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this, because you're so busy looking at what's going on at the moment.
It is. It's a busy time, but you know, delighted to be here and to have a chat and, you know.
Oh, it's fantastic. Tell us, how did all this start for you? When did you decide to create the brand?
Well, it was about, AU is about 7 years old now, but it started, I was a tutor in a beauty and makeup college. And at the time, there wasn't as many brands as there is now. So the girls always found it difficult to get really good brushes because at an affordable price, ones that they could afford. And I'm a stickler for that the tools are super important. So it started out with me just trying to get ones for them to use that were really high quality, but really affordable. And I kind of went with a few different companies and I wasn't really happy. And I thought, oh, look, I'll try and see if I can get some of my own made. And I did. And as I kind of started to get them into the college, the girls were great for being like a little focus group because they'd say what they liked or we'd see what worked and what didn't. And they started asking me, could I get some for friends and family and things like that? And I thought there might be a little bit of a gap in the market here for a really high quality brand that was actually affordable for women. And it started from there. Like, we were a brush company for quite a while. And
okay.
Only because probably I didn't have the confidence at that stage to go into the cosmetics line. But as the brushes started to take off, people started to ask more about makeup. And I used to do a lot of lessons, you know, one-to-one lessons and things like that. And classes kind of around the country and that. And I used to, it was the same problems women were having all the time. And I thought, there has to be an easier way, you know? Yeah. So we started with our signature eyeshadow palette, which was like, it's a 5-color, really neutral palette. And we did that because, again, women were saying they were getting these presents of palettes with 28 colors and just too colorful. They wanted one that they could just reach for every day and that would make them feel good. So that's kind of how it all started. It was literally listening to what people were telling me the whole time.
You were teaching the students how to become a makeup artist.
Yeah. But then when we started doing the classes around the country, that was just women who wanted to learn their own makeup.
Yeah.
So it was basically teaching them how to get the best out of their own makeup bags and, you know, how to apply makeup for themselves, because it had started with the videos online. I used to do them on Facebook and they it kind of grew from there. You know, people would come to me here in Kildare for lessons, but then I'd be asked, could I go to Cork or could I go to Kerry or Donegal? And I kind of felt, well, if I had enough people, I could do a little class, you know. They started with numbers of 20 and we've gone up to like having days out now with 400 women and whatnot. So it's it was brilliant. Wow. It's been a great little journey, you know.
Oh, God, that's amazing. Well, I came across your brand by chance a couple of months ago, just scrolling kind of, I think probably Instagram. And I saw this lady putting on concealer and I swiped past and then I kind of went back because I'm always looking for a good concealer. And when I was watching her do it, I just thought, God, that looks almost too good to be true. So I said, right. And I ordered the concealer and I ordered the brush to go with it. And obviously it came very quickly as well, literally the next day, I think. I tried it and I literally could not believe the difference it made to my eyes. Just, you know, so my skin is aging now and it really gave a fantastic pop of color. So that got me kind of really curious. I went onto your website, went onto your Instagram. I just love everything about the brand, obviously, because it's Irish. The price point, your tutorials are fantastic, absolutely brilliant. So I've been literally practicing ever since how to, and was the, so you started with the eyeshadow palette. I thought it was the concealer.
No, yeah, the eyeshadow palette came first. And we did the Radiance cream second. And actually, to be honest, I'm totally self-funded. So AU is completely self-funded and still is to this day. And I kind of put everything into doing the eyeshadow palette. And I said, okay, that's it now. I'll do this for this year. And next year we might do something. But the Radiance cream was something I always wanted to do as well. And I kind of thought, oh, you know, I actually put in the order for it before I had any money to pay for it, because I was that adamant that women needed this in their makeup bags. But all the way along, I was working on the concealer, because it was the one thing, like you said, like women are always looking for a really good under eye concealer. It's the one area, because I suppose as we get older, you know, the area gets a little creppier, we have fine lines, it's dehydrated. And a lot of the ones that have really high coverage or that might be for a younger audience, they're too heavy for us in that area. So I was always tinkering with, you know, different formulas and kind of things like that. And the formula itself came from a couple of years ago when we had that big snow and we were stuck in our houses. And I was across the table in my kitchen from my husband. And I thought, you know, he works on a farm, we have horses and stuff here. And he has a bit more weathered skin than mine. He had to go back over to the farm to feed the horses and to do the water because it had frozen. But he went off with the concealer on him without remembering that he had it on. And when he came back in, it was perfect on him. There hadn't creased, it hadn't budged, moved. And I knew myself then, like, that was it. There was something, we had something, because it was the one thing that was always such a bugbear for women. And like, it was almost like that little light bulb eureka moment of, now we have it, you know, that kind of way. So we launched with two shades and now we have four, and we have another four coming in the summer. And it's just gone from strength to strength. Like, I think, you know, initially when we brought it out first, I suppose we weren't as known as we are now, and the name started to trickle, and the concealer has really just changed our whole business for us, you know, like, yeah. It really has. And it's allowed us to do so much more. So no, it's been amazing. And it's something I'm super proud of as well, because concealer for me was always that thing that, like, you know, I always just wanted something that would work really well in that area and that wouldn't dry out or crease or that.
100%. And that is literally, so I started with the concealer and then I got your eye palette and then I got the Radiance cream and I got the brushes, and I'm slowly working through and learning all these different things, because your tutorials are absolutely brilliant. Such a great idea and so easy for women to just go on and have a look and spend time, and particularly now because we're in lockdown, yeah. And it's just an absolute nightmare, but however, hence... Yeah. Here we are on Zoom. But anyway, let's talk about, because obviously your history then is makeup. You're a makeup artist. So you yeah. know all about the skin and how to look after the skin. So let's start there in terms of skincare, because certainly for me, I'm getting older. My skin is changing. And one of the things I'm noticing as I get older is that makeup just, it won't sit on my skin like it used to. Yeah. So I suppose it's the prepping really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one thing that I always say to women is that it does not matter how good the makeup is. If the skin underneath it is not looked after, you're at nothing, you know, and it doesn't have to be a really elaborate routine. I am all about making it simple and quick and just something that'll be consistent. Because I think if you have too many steps, you're not going to keep up with it. And I also think that sometimes now with the way marketing is, a lot of women can overdo it on the skin. So they're using too many products and then the skin yeah. becomes reactive, and that in turn is as bad as not looking after it, you know. So for me, it's about keeping it just nice and easy. So always to cleanse. So I use a face wash because it's quicker. Some people prefer cream cleansers. And water is your best friend as a toner. I don't buy into any toners and things like that, because again, this is something not a lot of people know, but back in the day when you had your three-step routine, the cleanse, tone, moisturize, the reason that came about was because the cleansers had a product called mineral oil in them to take the makeup off. But then you couldn't take that mineral oil off your skin with just water. So you needed a toner with an alcohol in it. And that's why, if you remember when you were younger, you probably had a toner that when you used it, your skin was screaming for your moisturizer after it. And so as obviously things have changed and products have become much, much better since then, they don't use mineral oil anymore. But the big companies didn't want to lose the revenue of the toners. So now they call them hydrating mists and all this type of jazz, okay. Where a splash of water is going to do the same job, you know. So that's why I always say to women, just a good cleanser, your water, SPF every single day. And SPF is your biggest anti-ager there is going. And then at nighttime, a nice rich moisturizer that's going to feed the skin throughout the night. So
again, like you can go into the realm of eye creams and things like that, but research has shown that eye creams aren't actually essential if you have a good moisturizer, because you'll never take a cream past the orbital bone, which is the bone that surrounds the eye, and because it'll travel up. And if you do put cream too far up, what can happen is it can pool in that area, and actually it can make it kind of swollen in there. And when I did a lot of training with a lot of the big cosmetic houses. I was a trainer for Depi Warren Carita for years. So I used to travel to all the salons and spas around the country and teach therapists there. And we did a lot of traveling around Europe, and that we've seen procedures of people getting eye cream removed from underneath their eyes. So for me, it's always like, bring it back a notch, you know, lessen the amount that we're putting on our skins and just make sure it's consistent. So an exfoliation for me is another big one, like just to make sure that we're cleaning off the skin and making sure dead skin cells are, you know, removed, and just keeping it fresh the whole time, you know. And I think if you did that, you're laughing, then you don't need anything else.
And of course, I suppose when you get older, you need to probably be exfoliating a little bit more, would you say?
Yeah, I would definitely do it 2 to 3 times a week. And I have really sensitive skin and very thin skin, but I use one with an AHA in it. So it's not so abrasive, but it has, we always kind of describe it as AHAs are like little Pac-Man, you know, that, remember that computer?
Yeah.
So it's like these little things that they come and they eat away at the dead skin cells. So it's much more, it's much nicer on your skin than having a really abrasive scrub that can end up making you red and sensitive and that. But I would definitely be saying, yeah, at least 2 to 3 times a week.
And what about the sun's gone mad there. What about, so you're saying no to an eye cream, and in your SPF, which I know, because I think everybody knows at this stage we should be wearing a sunscreen, should there be a moisturizer under the sunscreen as well?
No. So if you can get one that has your moisturizer in it, all the better.
Okay.
You know, like my dermatologist would always say, she doesn't care about the moisturizer, it's just the SPF. And what happens is, you see, when people start using an SPF, well, the one I use actually is a Neostrata Enlighten SPF. And for me, it's really evened out my skin tone. It brightens the skin. So you've got it, it's really hydrating and it's not heavy. Some of them, if they are just SPFs on their own, can feel a little bit heavy, or they might feel a little dehydrating. But often it's the skin needs about a week to get used to it after you've started a new cream or an SPF or that, because you're feeling like you're missing something if you've gone from a serum and an oil and a cream.
Sure.
To this, you know, but it's about trying to make the skin, I think, work a little bit harder for itself. Because if you can imagine, okay, I always tend to go on and on now when this topic comes up, because I feel really strongly about it. But a lot of the time when you buy creams in a shop, say, I'm not saying all of them by any means, but a lot of the time people are on commission. So they're being under pressure to sell. So they'll often sell you the more expensive cream. So if you say we're, you know, between 35 and 40, and you're saying, I want to start my anti-aging now, mm-hmm. you'll need a specific type of cream. If you start using a cream that's too rich, one that's maybe for a 50 plus, because they have so much collagen in that, your skin is actually going to get lazy. I kind of say to people, it's like an antibiotic. If you keep taking medicine, at some point, it's not going to work anymore because you're going to become immune. So what happens with the creams is, if you keep loading it with all these creams that are too advanced for your skin, then by the time you actually need them, they're not going to work. So I would always say to people, even if you're 65 years old, if you've really good skin, you might have the skin of a 40-year-old. So you don't necessarily need to use that really rich cream. So I always would suggest trying to go to somebody who is qualified, or get an unbiased opinion,
and
not just one from a counter, before you start a skincare routine. Because one, you'll save yourself a fortune, and two, you'll just have a specific little amount of products to use every day, and you'll see a massive difference in that then, rather than jumping from brand to brand because you can't find the holy grail in one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
because you're in so many mixed messages all the time.
That's true. And often, like I know myself, I kind of changed up my own skin routine a couple of years back. And actually, if you can invest maybe in one product or two products, like you said, like a really good exfoliator, or perhaps I started using Retin A a couple of times a week, and that just made a massive difference to my skin.
Yeah.
And therefore, then when you're using the makeup products, they just seem to sit a little bit better. Because that really, I can't believe the difference in my skin as I've got older. Just,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, and people do, they don't sometimes realize that the makeup you wore when you were 20 is not going to suit when you're 40, and so on and so forth. You know, like, it is, our skin does change as the years go on. So it's really important to, to like look into that. And everyone knows their own skin super well as well, you know, so if you kind of feel like it's tight in areas, you'll know that there's a bit of dehydration there. But it's trying not to get bamboozled by so many different things, you know.
Yeah, and keeping it simple.
Getting the core bits that you need.
Yeah. So when you're going to start then, because obviously we are all desperately trying to cling on to being, you know, having that skin of when we're 25 or 30 or whatever. But if we could even just look good for our age, you know, we don't have to go back, you know, that far. What's the, you know, even in choosing like a foundation, you just released a new brand or a new foundation. Talk us to a little bit about choosing the right and how to choose the right color and that kind of thing. Yeah.
So with foundations, it is one of those things that is, it's a hard one for a lot of women. And when I used to do my lessons as well, it was the one area that we used to spend loads of time on. Like I would always ask people to bring all their makeup to me for a lesson so we could go through their entire bag. And without fail, they would always have between 5 and 10 foundations and none of them the same shade. So I'd be like, well, which one are we today? You know, the kind of way. But for me, again, it's all about making sure you test it out first. If you're unsure, you need to test it out. And I would always test it in daylight. So yeah. I think that the magic thing is to always go on jawline. So again, this is only my personal thing, but I'm not a big fan of taking makeup down the neck because I feel like if you're having to color down the neck as well, where do you finish? Like where can you stop? Because your hands are going to be a totally different color to your face if you're, you know, going too warm on top. So I try and get people to embrace their natural skin tone a little more rather than, you know, being two different colors around the body. Like if you wear tan, fair enough, you can go darker on the face. But if you're not, then, you know, it's kind of time to embrace that a little bit more. But I would always say samples. I think with skincare as well, or with foundation as we get older, we don't so much, unless we've got oily skin, need something that's very matte because we want it to hydrate the skin and we want it. Like as we get older, we do lose that glow, natural glow that we would have had. So something to bring that back and to make it nice and dewy looking. But I always used to say to people that I'd kind of say the 3-day test. So if you go, say, makeup shopping on a day, I know we can't at the minute, but as a normal day would have it, it might be on your day off or it might be at lunchtime and you'll go in and you'll love the look of it and you'll think it's great. And it's probably in a shop where the lighting isn't like daylight.
That's true,
you know? Yeah, so then you're looking great in there, and then by the time you're at home it's dark and you're still in this yellow light of a house, and then the next morning you go to put it on and you're in your bathroom and it's cool, you get to your car, take down the sun visor, and suddenly you're like, oh my god, the color of my face, you know.
That's so true. 100%.
Well, this is the thing, because the lighting is so important. So that's why I say, like, on the second day, you'll either know that it's the wrong shade or you'll love it. But maybe by lunchtime, it hasn't stayed on you and it's not the coverage or it's not the longevity that you need. But definitely by day 3 of using your sample, you're going to know whether that's worth investing in or not. And again, the reason I say it like that, I know it sounds a little bit like long-winded and whatnot, but the fortunes you'll save if you take your time and pick it well. And also, for me, if the base is right, everything else will come together. Like if you've got the foundation right, you know, you can do whatever you want with the eyes, but it's going to look great. But you could have the most amazing eye makeup on, but if the base and the foundation, the wrong color, the wrong shade, everything's going to look wrong. You know, the kind of way. So it's something I try and get people just to slow down a little and really pick it. And that's why with our new foundations as well, we've done sample packs. So where you can get the samples and have all 8 to try. And I'm kind of trying to get people to do that so that again, then when they go to buy it, because we can't have a shop at the moment, or we are predominantly online anyway, but we had a pop-up shop before Christmas and we'd love to have more of them, but it doesn't allow at the moment. But the samples, I think, just then we'll take the guesswork out of it, you know. And you're going to know exactly which one will sit well on you.
Great idea, because, you know, and you're also doing online consultations, I see. Is that for your foundation?
Well, for everything. So we have virtual consultations where you can come on, and again, we try and get them set up so people are near a window in daylight without makeup, so we can see exactly what they look like and see what they're going to need. So for me, again, it's a really nice way to be able to have a connection and guide you in the right way, because this is where the videos that I do as well came from. I always wanted, you know, to educate women really well before they bought our product. It's one of the reasons we don't sell into retail as well, because I don't want anyone to ever just pick up a product off the shelf and go home and then not know how to use it. Because I think some great products people dismiss because they're not sure how to use them. So I'm always trying to educate people on how to best use it, and, you know, make it easy. Because a lot of the time people are intimidated by makeup as well, because they're like, oh, I don't know how to do that, or don't wear eyeshadow.
I'm 100% intimidated. I look at things online and go, I'd love to look like that or whatever, you know, and inevitably, of course, they're probably 15 years younger than me, but however. But that is what I love about your brand. Honestly, if you're listening to this and you haven't gone on yet, do check it out. The tutorials are they're so easy though, because you really do break it down. So my next question then about foundation, just so we've got the foundation right, brush or fingers? For foundation,
always brush for me, always. And again, the reason for that is because and that's a brush, not a sponge, is because with the hands, what you're going to do is you're going to put it in, you're going to warm up your hands and then pop it on your face. When you're putting it on your face, you're going to inevitably massage your face, which is going to heat it up, which is going to create oils, which is going to prevent the foundation from setting as it should. And also it's going to shear out the consistency a lot. And you're also going to waste a lot on your hands too. Whereas with a brush, when you have something like our buffer brush that's synthetic, it doesn't absorb any product, and you're going to get the maximum coverage for like the smallest amount of product then. With sponges as well, I think sponges tend to soak up a lot of product. So there's a lot of wastage in that. And then I'm not a fan of like how things can stick to sponges and stuff. You know, like I would be a stickler as well about washing your brushes. I wash my own personal ones 2 or 3 times a week. I would suggest to most people once a week, once a fortnight. At minimum, you know, and I just use Fairy Liquid to wash mine. So it's not any fancy things. It's just Fairy from the sink.
Sure.
But I do think it's a huge difference when you use a brush, because again, with the synthetic, the HD buffer brushes that we have, like they're super dense, but super soft, but they're going to make it look like, if you keep patting it in, it's going to look like your own skin. So even if you've got something that's their super high coverage, it's going to look like it's part of your own skin by the time you've patted it in. The reason for those as well, sorry to keep going on, but for those as well, rather than the flat foundation brushes, is because with cameras being so high tech as they are now, you were starting to see stripes on people's faces in cameras if there was finger work used or if there was flat brushes used as well. So these type of brushes, make sure you get a completely even and clean finish.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. So my next question then, and this might be like a ridiculous question, but I'm just going to throw it out there anyway, because for me, until I watched your tutorials, I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but what the hell, I did bring the foundation all the way up under the eye until I watched your tutorials. And then it was like, yeah, how ridiculous. No wonder I'm looking at the creases in my eyes going, why can I see all the lines? Why? Because I'm putting foundation and concealer and then powder. So obviously, I mean, I know that's why it's probably a ridiculous question, but I'm going to ask it for those of us that are like me.
No, it's absolutely not a ridiculous question. And so many people would still do that as well, and, you know, see no wrong in it. And the reason, again, is because, like, when we were younger, we didn't have the same skin as we have now. So you would have gotten away with it then. But as we get older, that area, I know it's terrible, it starts to dry out more. And we do have fine lines and creases. And with foundations are a completely different consistency and formula to a concealer, an under eye concealer, that is. So they're going to be often, you know, setting formulas where they're going to have a heavier set, where you're going to have a 24 hour wear or something. And so what that happens is, if you can imagine, when you put it up, it's almost like a cement drying into those little creases. And as you move your eyes and you're expressive, those creases are going to crack that. And then we start to see all these little crevices in our skin. But the other thing as well is also that, again, we want to try and bring some brightness to our face and a bit of light. So if we do our foundation all over our face, we're basically one dimensional, like that's just one tone all over the face. And again, that can make the skin and the whole face look a little duller because it drags it down. Whereas if you in little inverted triangle in the center of the face add, and I would only ever go a half shade, it would very max a shade lighter with a concealer. And it's going to brighten and lift that whole area. So we tend to get really dark patches and pools of shadow in the inner corners of our eyes. So this is going to bring it all out. And it's just going to give you a facelift and going to make you look, you know, years younger with just one little change of shape.
You obviously don't put powder on then after, because yours is self-setting, is it?
Yeah. Now, I always say to people, if they are really oily skinned, or, you know, their lids would be oily, to put a tiny bit of powder on it, just because if you have excess oil in the area, it might shift. But no, it is self-setting. So if you tap it in, and that's another thing, when we do our concealer, it's like I would always tap it in. I would never rub it or pull the skin, because again, we want to get the maximum amount of coverage, but we want to be kind to that area too. Because if you're pulling and dragging at it every day, eventually, the lines and the wrinkles will get worse, but you're also going to damage the skin in the area. So I love that little tapping motion to bring it up. But once you tap it in, you're actually setting it while you're tapping it as well. So there's no need for powder then.
And actually your brush for your concealer is lovely. It's very, very light. So, and like, I feel like I wish I'd known this about 10 years ago, probably would have saved me an awful lot of hassle, but however. Do you put the, obviously you put the sun cream all the way up to your eye though beforehand?
I do, yeah. I would put it on my lids, and I do have sensitive skin, and now I even though I say you don't need to use an eye cream, I do use one in the morning and the evening, because I had laser eye surgery done about 2 years ago now, and ever since I had it done, my eyes are, they were always sensitive anyway, but they're even more sensitive now. So I use a cooling one from Talbot, just to, it's basically like putting a really cold splash of water on your eyes the morning. So I do tend to use that every day as well. But no, I would just put the SPF. I don't use primers or anything. I don't buy into all that. If you've got the skincare right, you shouldn't need anything else, you know.
Yeah, no, 100%, totally agree. And so what do you think the biggest mistake we're making? Women aging, we'll say that because I'm aging. Because I certainly, like, as I said, skin is changing. Do you think we're just putting on too much? What do you think we're doing wrong?
I think people are getting a lot better for sure. There isn't as many mistakes as there would have been in the past. But I think for me, possibly it's the shade. I think sometimes people try to warm the face up too much with their foundation. And in doing that, things just look wrong, you know. So again, this is where I say to embrace your own natural skin coloring a little bit more, or if you want to warm up, do put on a bit of tan, because what happens is if you go too dark with your foundation, trying to warm the face up, and if you blow your nose, or, you know, you're eating a sandwich or something, sometimes you can get a little bit of makeup come away from around the mouth or on the nose, and then you've two different colors going on. So I say always keep your foundation as close to your natural skin color as possible, to your jawline, to your neck. And then if you want a little bit of warmth, use bronzer to do that rather than the foundation, because it's going to look more natural rather than, you know, going way too dark with the foundation. That if it is to, like, again, people don't realize during the day how much they touch their face. You know, you might sit with your hand in your face in your hand if you're at a computer, or when you're on the phone and the makeup is getting rubbed away from that. And again, then you're going to really notice the different tones if you're going a few shades darker just to warm up the face.
Yeah. So let's talk about brows next, because that was the next thing that I kind of hadn't a clue what I was doing until I looked at yours. So now I have I got the brow set, the pen, the whole lot. But again, it is one of those things. So I look at, you know, people that are 15 years younger than me, and they have these fabulous brows, big, massive yolks, and big envy comes to, like, look at my daughter as well. She's the same. And like, I just don't have that. So how do you make the most of it when you're a little older?
Well, I think, again, brows for me, they too totally transform the face, but there's ways and means. I mean, I don't know that the big brows suit everybody. They look amazing on people who naturally have the bigger brows, but I'm like you, I've little brows. So when you've nicer brows than me, I'm looking at yours going, that's a brow for me.
I literally was filling them in about 20 minutes ago going, quick.
I think just again, less is more, and it's a light hand. So when you have your pencil, it's trying to keep as light a touch as possible and doing little flicks with your pencil so that it looks like little hair strokes. And it's hard to kind of, I suppose, to say, but I do have videos on how to measure them so that you know what's going to suit you best. Like, there's kind of like a golden rule of using your pencil to go from the side of the nostril to the inside of the eye, and that's roughly where the brow should start. And then from the side of the nostril to the edge of the eye here is where it should finish. And if you use from the side of the nose up through the pupil, that's where your arch should be. So if you even do like three little points with your pencil and then gently fill those in, it gives you this really nice brow that suits your face shape, because obviously it's not a one size fits all. Everyone's face shapes are so individual, that this is the easiest way for you to do it, and then have this just a lovely finish to the brows then.
Yeah. And do you always finish then with the gel, or do you just use the pencil?
It depends on the day. Like, I would, you know, I love my gel when I'm kind of going out for work. those days, I could get to go out.
Yeah.
But I suppose when I'm at home here now, I'm putting my pencil. Like, I would never, even if I don't have any makeup on, I will always have the brow pencil in, because I do get fee brows done. But would you believe, twice now I've gone to get them done, and then we've gone into lockdown, so I haven't gotten to get my top up. And so they've kind of come away on me a little bit. And so I miss that. But I just feel like, for me, even if I've no makeup on, once I have a little bit of pencil in the brows, I feel awake then.
It makes a massive difference, doesn't it? Oh my goodness. Oh, yeah. So, and your tutorial on the brows is really, really good. As is, you have a tutorial with using one color of your palette, because again, like me, it's all coming out. Useless as putting on eyeshadow. I feel like I just don't have the hang of it. So I don't bother, which is a bit of a shame, really, because I'm just afraid of eyeshadow.
And do you know what it is? The biggest thing with the eyeshadow is, I genuinely mean this, it's just people are a little bit too heavy handed at times. So even I sometimes show in the videos, which I should do more, because I'm thinking I haven't done it in a while, but it's how I hold my brushes. So a lot of people tend to hold eyeshadow brushes with, they hold them like they hold a pencil. And then, you know how you would be if you're writing with a pencil, if you just subconsciously or unconsciously, you're going, you're leaning on it. So we do that on the eyes as well. Whereas if you can take your hand a little further up the brush and you put the end of the brush between your index finger and your thumb, if you're trying to put more pressure on it, it's pulling the brush back rather than pushing it onto your face. And it's the one thing that I just, like, sometimes I wish I could, you know, grab a hold of somebody's hand and just stop it, because if they just lightened it up a little bit more, it makes the world a difference, you know. But I would start again like that. I have a few videos on a natural look, or like you said, the one color look, that I always think to people, if they can master one technique, then the world's your oyster, because it's just changing the color, you know. But you can, once you get one little technique down, then you can do whatever you want with it. Like, you can change it up as in many ways you want, just with color then.
Yeah. So what's next for you? Have you any other surprises coming out?
Yeah, we've a lot going on this year.
Brilliant.
We have next, we have our Perfect Skin launching on March 1st, and our Fresh Skin is coming back into stock. We actually sold out in less than 10 minutes on Friday when we launched the Fresh Skin, which was
crazy.
It was so surreal, because, like, to be fair, the last few launches we've done have been done from home because we've been in lockdown. And, you know, this one for me was super special because I've always wanted to have our own foundation, and to see the reaction was amazing. So we have the Perfect Skin launching on the 1st of March. And then we have some new cream blushes and contour and highlight coming in March as well. So our kind of first half of the year is all about skin and getting that area down. And then the later half of the year, we have lots of exciting eye products coming as well, coming into September. So I can't wait for that.
It's brilliant. Well, I'm absolutely delighted for you. Where did the name come from?
It's a Balinese word. It means beautiful in Balinese. And I had a salon about 20 years ago. I had my own beauty salon, and it was inspired by all the Western, all that culture and the decoration and everything of in Bali. And myself and my husband spent time out there when we got married about, gosh, what are we now, 10, 11 years ago. And I just loved it. So when I was naming the brand, I wanted it to have a real meaning to me. And of course, at the time, I thought that'll be easy for people to say, but it's not. But
well, no, I asked because actually I was going to say it is a really beautiful name. So that's the irony in that. It means beautiful. Or is that what you said? Beautiful?
Yeah. And yeah, that's the thing, because for me as well, with AU, it is all about trying to help women feel their best. And I know sometimes people think that makeup is superficial, but for me, it always makes me feel more confident and more, I feel ready for my day once I have just my little bit, even if it's just a lick of concealer, a tiny bit of brow pencil, whatever it may be. And actually, I put up a poll on my Instagram yesterday, just asking people, or a question box, asking people what it is during lockdown that is making them feel good. And the majority of people said getting up and putting on my makeup. And we might be going nowhere, but it really does help to make us feel our best. So I think the name and everything, just for me, it kind of symbolized exactly what I was trying to do, you know. And okay, and this just a side point as well, is that it's one of the other reasons I went into doing it and have done it the way we have, is because all our customers basically would be kind of 30 plus, and they're women who maybe have had kids or, you know, are carers, or we've gotten to an age where we've stopped kind of thinking about ourselves so much. And I personally went through a time where I'd lost all my confidence when I started working from home. Back when I was starting the company first, I had two small kids, and there's only a year between my kids, and it was just mental. We had no childcare, and my husband was working 7 days a week at that time. And I just, I stopped going out. And if I went to the supermarket and I saw someone, I would get run away, and I wouldn't want to face anybody. Do you know that kind of way? And
yeah.
I just stopped looking after myself. And I remember saying to Alan one day, you know, from tomorrow, I'm going to get up and I'm going to put my makeup on as if I was going to the office. And I've done it every day since. And I cannot tell you the turnaround in me within a few days, once I started feeling like myself again. And it's what I keep hearing from women as well, is that it's time for me to look after me. Like, it's time for me to take my time back. And I think in any which way you can do it, whether it be, you know, through exercise or through makeup or, you know, just alone time, any which way, like, we have to kind of be more selfish with ourselves and allow ourselves to do it, you know?
Yeah. And it's so true. I mean, you do lose yourself when you have kids. I've got three as well, and they're grown up now, and kind of the last few years, you know, I don't know whether it's empty nest almost, because the two of them are older, and I've still got one of them clinging on to desperately. But I know exactly what you mean. You do kind of lose yourself. I mean, that must have been scary for you at that time, kind of to start the company.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But you know, as well, the other thing was, when I was working in the college, I was working 6 days a week, and two of those days were 12-hour days. And I had just had my son, Ollie, and I went back to work after 6 weeks because they hadn't gotten any cover for me. So they kind of gave me no choice. And I just remember I was gone constantly at that time. And I thought, like, this isn't the way I pictured my life going. And because I had AU kind of started then, I thought to myself, it's time to sink or swim here. Like, I either make a go of it or I live somebody else's life for the rest of my days. And so I did, but it was scary because I'd like that. I was at home trying to build this business, and I had Ollie, and then I very quickly got pregnant with Chloe, and Alan wasn't around, and I was trying to, like, my head felt, I thought I was going to explode. But I have to say, like, and I know it sounds stupid and to some people, but like, when I did decide to get up that day and put my makeup on and get dressed, even though I was working from home, there was a difference. It was a click. And I even say it all the time still, people started to treat me differently then, because they started to see me dressed like I used to be. I was always had my makeup on. I always presented myself well. And it just changed the whole perception of everything, you know, that kind of way. So I would love, for me,
I don't think that sounds stupid at all. I totally get it. And in your own head, I suppose it was like almost taking little steps every day for you to feel better.
Yeah.
You know? And it is, like, even I remember, like, a year ago trying to think about when I was thinking about this podcast and to do it, and the nerves and the fear and the imposter syndrome, and my God, I could write a book on it. And I still, you know, every day when I think about it, I kind of go, oh God, you know, what am I doing? And, you know, it's hard, isn't it, to kind of just push yourself forward and keep going.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. But I think as well, like, that the more you do it, then the more natural to you it becomes, you know, because now, like, I love getting messages from women saying, even I did a 50K recently, and it was something I had been training for ages, but I kind of posted on Instagram sometimes about the runs that I would go on or what I was up to. And it was more kind of as well, some part of it to keep me accountable. If I put it out there, I couldn't not do it, you know, the kind of way. But then I was getting women kind of saying to me, you know, you doing that has driven me to do this. And I think, like, that you just have to start, don't you? Even though it feels real hard, it's just,
it does. And sorry, that was a 55-0K that you did last week, as you know, as you brush past it like it's nothing. But you're right, it's true. I think, you know, we have to kind of, I suppose, support each other, because it is scary, and it, you know, taking the decision to do something. And you've inspired me, I have to say. And that's why when I came across the brand, I just loved everything about it. I think it's brilliant. And I think your pricing is great. Your tutorials are fantastic. So I would encourage everybody listening to get on and just have a look. What's the website and the Instagram?
Our website is www.ayu.ie. And our Instagram, we have our AU Instagram, which is AU Makeup Ireland. And then mine is susie.au. Where we kind of do tutorials on both, but I'm probably more predominantly on my own one Yeah. You wouldn't know what you'd get on that.
Yeah, I know. I follow them all. But isn't it interesting? So I'd say it's like when you start something new and then when you move down the tracks, it always turns out to be something different. Like I'm sure when you started off, when you thought about the brushes, you didn't envisage it ending up like this.
No. Like I always had a dream to be able to do my face from start to finish with AU, but I probably never thought it would have gone the way it's gone. And we have a new business opening in 2 weeks, which is called Five Star Fulfillment. So it's a fulfillment company for e-commerce businesses. And it came about because I'm such a stickler about how our products go out that I wanted to take it back in-house, but I also know how it can make or break a brand. So to think that from way back, you know, like that girl who was there telling her husband that she's going to start and get up tomorrow and do this, to now where I am with, you know, AU been where it is and starting the new business. And we've got some great clients on with the new business already. It's mind boggling at times, but I feel like I always think everything happens for a reason. Like I think I had to go through that struggle to be able to then show women that no one's born with just everything given to them. You can work for it and things can change. And it's actually one of the reasons as well why with my videos, I'll always come on without my makeup on, because I always want women to know, like, you know, we all wake up the same way. Like we're all the same. We just have to, you know, take the diamond and just, I don't know, just like kind of get ourselves going and take the little steps at a time and keep moving forward, you know. But it's amazing what can come from things when you do start doing that, when you just start to look after yourself a little bit more. Because I always say to my kids, when I'm going for a run or anything like that, I'm like, I'm going to be a better mummy when I get back. You know, just give me my hour.
Oh, I totally and utterly agree with you. Couldn't agree more. I'm the same. I'm the same as you when it comes to movement. It's my headspace.
I was watching yours. I would love to have your flexibility. Oh my God. I so need that at the moment as well.
It's a huge work in progress. Trust me. Susie, thank you so much for giving me your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Very best of luck. I wish you all the best. You deserve it.
Thank you so much. Thanks a million.
Cheers. Bye. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Guys, if you're enjoying this podcast, maybe you could share it and subscribe to the podcast and come and check us out at thewhenpodcast.com. Thank you so much.